Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Some of these text messages for two individuals that are on the Historic Preservation Board, I think it crosses the line.
Sunshine. I saw sunshine.
I think two members of the Historic Preservation Board have definitely violated the sunshine. Alex, if we think there's a violation here, does this council have the right to remove those members?
The council has the authority to remove a board member from misfeasance, malfeasance, or nonfeasance, yes.
So the issue here, for those who haven't been tracking, is as a follow-up to all of the records requests that were not fulfilled properly during the whole Scott Collins debacle, Alex Andrade has sought public records from a wide variety of people who have been communicating with the mayor, members of the Pitchfork Posse, and also members of the Historic Preservation Board, including Tom Powers and also Teresa Messick. And the problem is that now from Tom Powers, we've got an enormous dump of information. I mean, I have not read all of these. It's the PDF is 7,000 pages. So it's not, you know, it's a lot, okay? So it's a lot to wade through. But, you know, you get a pretty good sense that there's a lot of communicating going on that is, at the very least, in the margins of what the Sunshine Law allows or prohibits. And particularly when it comes to producing the records, that you have to produce the records. And there's kind of two different issues here. One is that the Public Records Act requires that if you are a city official or an employee or an appointee on a board and you have a record, like an email or a text message, or even if you make a phone call, the metadata on the phone call can be considered a public record. But if you type a letter, anything that's a tangible thing or a digital version of a tangible thing, that's a public record. And if it's talking about city business, then that's something that everybody has access to if they ask you for it. That's the idea. And you have loads and loads and loads of text messages here that Tom has now produced, but that also involve Teresa Messick, who keeps kind of denying that these things exist. And basically, Alex has said, look, they do. We see what look like public records violations here, but also sunshine violations. In the other part of this issue is that if you have a meeting, is what this is all about, you're not allowed to have meetings that are not noticed, they're not transcribed, they're not held in the public with public input. So one member of a board cannot talk to another member of the board and get an answer from that. They can't have a discussion. Okay, that means that if one texts the other, which is actually not a sunshine violation on its own, but if they reply back, then it is a sunshine violation. If they're talking about city business or talking about a voting matter that will come before them as members of the board, and there are at least a couple of instances in these texts where that seems to happen. My read is that it does happen. And so the question is, well, should they be removed from their presence on the board because of that? Tom Powers is arguing that, well, I didn't reply. I saw at least one case I know for sure where it looked like there was a reply, a couple others it looked like it as well. And so those are kind of the issues. That's kind of the backdrop to all of this. So when we get into the actual meeting, what Jeff Snow has proposed is to remove them from the Historic Preservation Board. Tom Powers says,
I have fully complied with all the records requests made of me, and I have broken no law. I fully realize that the city council is we serve at the pleasure of the city council.
But Jeff Snow says, no, they haven't complied. They shouldn't be on these boards. And, you know, he wants them removed because he thinks that actually it's not just that Sunshine or Public Records Act.
Requirements by state law, state statute. And I think they've crossed the line here.
And, you know, that there's a line crossing that even the law has been broken. And Alex Andrade agreed that there was, you know, he's a city attorney, and he agrees that there have been failure to comply with this stuff as they're supposed to do.
At this point, I don't believe either Ms. Messick or Mr. Powers have properly complied with the public records request that was submitted to them back in April.
And that has not been fully complied with. Tom Powers has done more to comply. Teresa Messick has been saying that there are no such records, which we know from the Tom Powers records, there actually are such records. And so we're in this situation of what do you do? If you believe that the culture at the city of Milton is that they're not complying with the Public Records Act, if they're maybe violating Sunshine, what do you do? Do you go to the state attorney? Do you remove them from the board? Who's responsible for solving this problem? City Council Member Gavin Hawthorne.
I don't think as a council we're entitled to that. I feel like it's an opinion. I mean, we're a city government. We're not Commission of Ethics. We're not any of that. So I don't think we have the right to say what is and what's not. That's why we have a city attorney to tell us that. So I'm not sure what motion you're going with, Jeff, but in my opinion, I don't feel like we're the right board to be discussing that matter.
So, again, just to kind of semi-recap, you've got an enormous amount of text messages going back and forth between people who are on the board and then with other people like the mayor of the city of Milton is on a lot of these text messages. Were there Sunshine violations or not? I think there's some evidence that yes, but were there public records that were not properly produced? I think the answer is definitely yes, even though, again, I think Tom Powers is doing the most to comply with this. And so you've got kind of this combined culture of reluctance, combined culture of semi-flouting the law, and also just not even understanding the law, like not understanding what is a meeting and what is a public record and is a text a public record. And the answer is yes. If it's about city business, the answer is yes. You got John Pickens with Traffic on the 5. John?
If you're traveling north and southbound on Highway 29, you're going to see some delays between Burgess and Airport. I'm seeing some minor delays there, but I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly right now. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. So back to the city of Milton, this conversation about what to do with a couple of board members about the problems with these texts and their public records, failure to produce public records. Shari Sebastio, the city councilmembers have these texts. They've been reading through them at the pace they can.
I am so knee-deep in emails and text messages. I haven't even read them all yet, and as far as I've gotten so far, it don't look good. And if it don't look good, it probably isn't.
Roxanne Meese, another city council member.
I have been ill recently, but I have been reading some of the messages and things, and I just can't believe it. I mean, I am just not only embarrassed, but my feelings are hurt about some of the things that some of the people that I thought liked me or were happy with me have said about me, some nasty things, and seriously hurt my feelings. And the mayor's not excluded from that. I've read some of hers too. I'm a devil. I'm just all kinds of things. And I've never intentionally been hateful to anybody here.
Being a devil, there was one text that had to do with voodoo and, you know, dark arts. I'm not kidding. Like, the stuff that's in here is so crazy. The dark arts, let me see if I can find this one real fast for you, because it's just amazing that the stuff that's been alleged here, including, you know, or said in the emails, including one text here from Heather Lindsay to a variety of people. Don't let Roxanne fool you. She and Shari engineered the Let's Kick Off Teresa and cover up that John Ellis also could be replaced. Roxanne has been awful at the TPO. We can't make any progress on Highway 90 because we have a council of fools. Jeff insists that Roxanne be TPO rep. It's been detrimental to our interest. And that's kind of light stuff. That's kind of the nicer version of some of the things that's in, you know, all of these texts. Like I said, I haven't read all of them, but I've read a bunch of them. Shari Sebastio.
Never been ugly to anyone, said anything negative about people, but the things that I read and the things that were said about me that you were thinking or thought were very disappointing and sad to see that in this day and time that you would talk to about people like this.
Does that conclude your remarks, ma'am?
Yes.
Councilman Farrow?
So Marilyn Farrow says it's not our place to make this call, even though Alex is assuring them that they do have the authority to make the call to kick them off the board. Heather Lindsay says this is just un-American.
Very disappointed in this, at the speculation into people's intentions that I've heard tonight, at concluding people have violated laws without giving anyone a chance to speak to the state attorney's office. We should not be treating people as if they're guilty before they're proven innocent. This is the United States of America. So I'm just disappointed in the way this is moving forward.
Marilyn Farrow jumps in here.
It's regrettable that things have been said by, I'm not sure who exactly you're referring to, that made bad comments about someone. But that's, we shouldn't be making a decision about service on the board based on opinions that have been expressed about someone's personality.
Have you read the mails? Because I'm curious if you've read any of them.
Councilwoman Sebastio, could you please let other members be heard? Because public is waiting, and
I have yes,
all of them.
As far as I know, yes, ma'am.
So just for, again, so you understand kind of what's in there, this one from Pam Mitchell to a couple of people, including Heather Lindsay. At time, I picture Shari putting pins into voodoo dolls with all of our names on them. And then people laughing at that comment. And one person saying, my God, don't do no voodoo. And then somebody says, not me, Shari. And not me, Shari. Yeah, not us, LOL, from Heather Lindsay. We pray against it, from Pam Mitchell. Remember when Katie Sanborn spoke on all those curses over me? I truly believe they do dark magic. From Heather Lindsay, I've heard from a witness that they do show a tendency to it. The whole third eye thing creeps me out, from Pam Mitchell. Just like from Heather Lindsay, did Katie curse you before or after her husband was charged with a crime? By the way, I still enjoy my snow tax lien cup. I just don't know what all of this is. It's so weird and bizarre. And, you know, see, it's one thing to watch the meetings and, you know, you think you know what's going on. And then these, like, conspiring text threads between various participants. You're going to talk on this? No, I'm not going to talk on this. You're going to say this? What are you going to say? And then again, the reason this all comes out is because these are, some of them, appointed officials or elected officials, having conversations with each other about city business and not producing these public records when they've been requested. They've been requested, and now, you know, Alex Andrade's had to go to court to a judge to say, make Mayor Lindsay give me these records. And now, because of what Tom Powers has released, we know that other people aren't producing the records that we know exist because they're included on his release. And it's... hot mess is a bit kind. So anyway, Heather Lindsay had this comment.
And I understand it's very painful to see yourself made fun of, degraded, spoken about as if you're evil. I've seen all that about me too. But our job here is to have thick skin. If you can't handle the heat in the kitchen, you just got to get out.
So, if you haven't been listening, I know it's been a lot, but the short version of some of this is that anyway, the law case against Mayor Lindsay to force her to disclose records and to get some other records as well has kind of gotten its first level of approval from the judge. So that is proceeding, and I'm sure more to come. I'm just sure more to come. We are definitely not done yet with Santa Rosa County's favorite soap opera, the Milton City Council Melodrama Theater. This installment brought to you by, we already have learned today that the Milton City Council meetings are so dangerous to your health that Mayor Lindsay was actually told by a doctor to stay away from them. So they should come with a health warning. Maybe Days of Our Milton should as well. And that we have the great butterfly feud, the gang war of butterfly advocates of 2024. These are all ongoing things in the city of Milton. 724 here on News Radio Pensacola. Man, talk about something that probably everybody needs a little bit more of, a good education. Pensacola State College will provide you with an outstanding education. My own children went there for 3 years during high school as dual enrolled students, and they got college credit for high school credit classes that they were taking. They went into college, went to university with about a year and a half of credit under their belt, which is great. The classes are small. The teachers are teachers. Okay. I taught at community college. I know the difference, and university too. And I know the difference between the university and the, you know, community college, and, you know, teachers who are there to teach. is what you get at community college. And, you know, class sections that work with your times, lots of choices and options, and very just responsive administration if you have questions. You know, they very much will help you and answer your questions and work with you. So our experience at PSC was fantastic. So campuses in Pensacola, Warrington, Milton Century, South Santa Rosa Center, Downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at pensacolastate.edu. Traffic on the fives.
Here's
now with John. Sorry, John.
Even though so many corporations are celebrating Gay Pride Month.
Let's take a quick look at your traffic on the fives.
That's all my fault, by the way. Sorry, John.
You gave me the signal.
I know.
Okay, Highway 90 southbound going through the construction zones through the fields. You're going to see some minor delays due to that construction, so be aware of that. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. No accidents to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
My Christian faith just won't let me. After all, there are seven places in Scripture where homosexuality is addressed and condemned. And my heart genuinely breaks for individuals who are caught up in that lifestyle. I want to see them washed, sanctified, and justified, as is described in 1 Corinthians 6. I want to see them saved. No one loves the LGBTQ people more than Jesus does. No one is able to help them like he can. But for the Christian to celebrate Gay Pride Month is not love. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, explains that love rejoiceth not in iniquity. It's saying Christians can't celebrate sin. Love doesn't do that. To celebrate any type of sin, instead of warn against it, is to personally escort individuals straight to hell. So Christian person, let us be loving enough to warn others about sin and invite them to the Savior.
For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Can going to the shooting range relieve stress and anxiety? Many Americans are starting to see the health benefits of spending time at the shooting range. Shooting increases mental capacity, boosts confidence, spikes adrenaline, and improves balance. Stop by Jim's Firearms and pick up all you need to head to the range. Jim's Firearms always encourages you to get out and shoot and know your firearm. Jim's Firearms at the corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento, near the back gate of NAS. Online at jimsfirearms.net.
Now is the time. Don't be left on the dock this summer. BGS Marine is getting you on a boat out on the water with our June inventory reduction sale going on now. BGS Marine Sales is a service-based business keeping boats tournament ready. Also, we have a very successful consignment program selling most within 30 days. If you've been looking, now is the time. Don't miss the June inventory reduction sale, June 28 and 29. 3910 West Navy Boulevard. Find us online at bgsmarinesales.com.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You make movies, huh?
I produce feature motion pictures. No TV.
I got an idea for a movie.
Interesting thought somebody had about the whole Milton stuff is these adults now have a small taste of how our children are being bullied. Yeah, no, that's true. And it's not fun. It's not pleasant to see the things that people might say about you behind your back or in a text message thread or something like that. That's for sure. 437-1620, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The CEO of Boeing apologized to people who've lost loved ones in Boeing plane crashes yesterday during a Senate hearing. Dave Calhoun faced family members of Boeing 737 MAX crash victims. Several Boeing whistleblowers recently said that their efforts to raise quality concerns resulted in retaliation from the company. President Biden taking executive action to protect the illegal immigrant spouses of U.S. citizens. Biden announced a plan yesterday at the White House. The executive order allows non-citizens who've been in the country at least 10 years to apply for permanent residence. And police in Los Angeles, Andrew, say somebody may have broken into the Brady Bunch house. Yesterday, police cars were parked outside of the North Hollywood home that was in the opening credits of the show. Police say they received phone calls about a loud noise at the home on Tuesday morning, and they are investigating it as a possible burglary.
Dun, 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 dun. Here's a story about a thief named Brady who was breaking into a fake television house. All right, I think I'm done now. That's all
that
I've
was
got
good,
for you.
Though. That
oh,
was
by
good.
The way, happy Juneteenth, the day when we celebrate all of the slaves getting the message that they had been freed.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Biden unveils a plan to give legal status to 500,000 illegal migrants who are married to U.S. citizens, claiming it'll be a huge benefit.
I want to keep building the strongest economy in the world with the best workforce in the world.
Utah Congressman Burgess Owens pans the move by the president.
It gives them power because it gives them more votes. It is very devious. I think it's evil. It's what it's really what it comes down to. And American people waking up to it. And I'm thankful that we're just a few months away from making a big change because we need to get our country back in a big way.
The Republican earlier morning show, Maria on Fox Business. Tropical's warning in effect for the Texas coast from the St. Louis Pass southward to the mouth of the Rio Grande. From the National Hurricane Center, which reports the big storm churning a few hundred miles from Galveston, sustained winds 40 miles per hour. 9 people are killed, 46 injured, in explosions at a military ammunition depot in Chad's capital, an official says. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got mostly cloudy skies. It is 80 degrees in Pensacola. The House Ethics Committee says there's enough smoke around allegations of improper behavior by Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz that it's warranted further investigation. With more on that, News Radio's Joe Ford.
In a statement released yesterday, committee chair Michael Guest of Mississippi says thus far, the committee has spoken with more than a dozen witnesses, issued 25 subpoenas, and reviewed thousands of pages of documents. Based on the review thus far, quote, certain of the allegations merit continued review. The allegations specified include that Gaetz may have, quote, engaged in sexual misconduct and illicit drug use, accepted improper gifts, and obstructed government investigations of his conduct. Gaetz continues to deny all allegations, posting on X in part, quote, they're doing this to avoid the obvious fact that every investigation into me ends the same way, my exoneration. Joe Ford, News Radio, Pensacola.
Escambia County officials cut the ribbon yesterday on that new Perdido Bay boat ramp. That's the first boat launch in Escambia County into Perdido Bay. The site features a two-lane boat ramp, space for 62 vehicles with trailers, 22 vehicles without trailers, has its own stormwater facility, a picnic area. It was first purchased by the Board of Commissioners back in 2013, but faced numerous delays. It was funded through local option sales tax money, grants, boat registration fees, and funding from other various federal and state sources. An Orange Beach doctor credited for saving a teen girl's life after that shark attack incident in Walton County a few weeks ago was recognized by the city council in his hometown of Orange Beach this week. Dr. Ryan Forbes was on vacation in Rosemary Beach when two teen girls were attacked by the shark. Lulu Gribben lost a hand and part of a leg. Forbes tells WKRG that he appreciates the recognition, but he's just happy she's doing well.
You know, she, you know, is really heartwarming. She kind of gave me a hug and told her, get a little teary-eyed, said, thanks for saving my life. And so you don't get that every day.
Again, Forbes talked with WKRG there. Lulu and another teen girl attacked by the shark just a few weeks ago. On the same day, there was another shark attack just miles away. Texas now bracing for heavy rain as a disturbance in the Gulf is expected to become the first named storm in the Atlantic hurricane season.
Right now, we're looking at widespread rainfall totals of 5 to 10 inches, say from the Houston-Galveston area to the west across portions of the Texas Hill Country, down across Victoria, Corpus Christi. We could see isolated rainfall totals as high as 15 inches in portions of the mid-Texas coast.
That is the National Hurricane Center Director Michael Brennan. The disturbance is expected to become Tropical Storm Alberto at some point today and bring rain as far east as southwestern Louisiana. A second disturbance in the Gulf could dump a good amount of rain on northeast Florida and southeast Georgia towards the end of the week. The NAACP of Okaloosa County holding a town hall meeting on the death of senior airman Roger Fortson this month. That'll be held at the Fort Walton Beach Civic Auditorium June 29th. Fortson's mother and community leaders will be on hand. They'll be discussing the incident that led to Fortson's death. He was shot and killed when an Okaloosa deputy responded to an alleged domestic incident back in May. Fortson answered the door with a handgun. However, the investigation determined he never threatened or resisted the deputy, and the use of lethal force was not justified. The deputy involved has since been fired. 7:35. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John.
That's right. I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly right now. If you're traveling northbound on Palafox between Maxwell and, I'd say, Avery Drive, you're going to see some minor delays there. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We can expect partly cloudy skies on Wednesday with high temperatures around 90 degrees. That's right on top of the normal high, which is 90. Chance of rain today sitting at 30%. We'll see a couple of afternoon storms. Heading into this evening, partly cloudy and those lows back in the upper 70s. A usual low is about 74. I think for us on Thursday, again, partly cloudy. Chance of rain a little better, more like 50% by Thursday afternoon. I'm meteorologist Christian Garman for WEAR.
And right now it's 80 in Pensacola, 79 in Gulf Breeze, 79 in Milton. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jim Chesko with Your Money Now. It's wedding season, and yes, those celebrations are back in full force, but costs are up. Wedding planning site Zola says the average cost of a wedding nationally is $33,000, up $4,000 from last year due to inflation and demand exceeding supply of wedding-related goods and services. Surprisingly, the most expensive state in which to get married is Rhode Island, a whopping $49,000 on average. The cheapest, Alaska, just $14,400 or so typically. Hey, who wants a donut deal? Krispy Kreme today and tomorrow is offering customers a sweet discount on its classic glazed treat. The chain is offering half off a dozen glazed donuts from 5 to 7 p.m. today. On Thursday, then, you can get a dozen original glazed donuts for $1 with the purchase of any dozen to celebrate the official start of summer. Randomly selected customers will also get additional freebies. The markets are closed for the holiday today. They'll reopen tomorrow. That's Your Money Now.
When the open road or off-road calls, the 2024 Subaru Forester answers. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The impressive off-road capability of the Forester Wilderness starts with its dependable symmetrical all-wheel drive. It optimizes power distribution between the wheels to deliver maximum traction on challenging trails or in slippery weather conditions. Pair that with 9.2 inches of ground clearance and standard Yokohama Geolander AT all-terrain tires, and you'll feel free to explore even farther down the trail. Plus, the Forester Wilderness comes with a full-size spare, a rare sight these days. The Forester Wilderness makes it easy to load up for adventure with an extra-wide rear gate opening and 60-40 split fold-down rear seat. And its interior protective material stands up to wear and tear from all that gear, passengers, and pets. The Forester Wilderness is built for your boldest adventures. Find yours at Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Mex Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
There are over 15,445 radio stations in America. But out of all those stations, a panel of judges representing the broadcast industry, community service organizations, and public relations firms chose the top 10, including News Radio Pensacola, to receive the 2024 National Association of Broadcasters Crystal Award for exceptional year-round community service. Thanks to you, our listeners. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Burn. Burn. Yeah. Burn. Ah. Down with the DC.
morning, 7:40 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We're watching this. They're calling it potential tropical cyclone one down in the southwestern portion of the Gulf, headed west towards Mexico. Will not affect us. But it's at 40 miles an hour. I thought that was naming speed. You know, 39 plus is when you name it. They haven't named it officially yet, so whatever. Then there's a little blob in that area that's going to kind of meander around and probably not affect us, but we're still keeping an eye on it. And we got the other one out in the Gulf, or out in the Atlantic, that is working its way kind of straight at Georgia at the moment. And, you know, we'll see what happens with that. None of these things are likely to have much effect on us, other than, you know, can't swim in the Gulf right now because double red flags or whatever. D.C. Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola. He always joins us on a Wednesday. Mayor Reeves, welcome back. Happy Juneteenth.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, good morning. Same to you.
Absolutely. I got a lot of, like, checkup kind of questions I want to run through with you. One is somebody asked me, What's the status of the red light cameras? I know they're still not operable yet, but any idea when?
Yeah, I'll try to go rapid fire for you today, see if we can cover as much ground as we can. But so quickly, on schedule as normal, infrastructure being put in some point this summer. So we're still looking at a late July, early August at last check. We had a couple complications with a couple intersections that needed a little more TLC and getting the technology in, but nothing major at all. So we still on schedule.
Okay, very good. So that's all we're waiting on, just getting the thing done, essentially. Bay Bluffs Park, obviously big news that it got funded, but what's the time frame for when we might be able to actually go out there and use it again?
Yeah, it's a good question. We don't, I'd hate to give one at this point because we don't have one. I don't want to, overpromise. So next step will be, I'll tell you this, though, will be getting with Conservation Florida. We're setting up a meeting now. Obviously, they're a big part of this grant and what the future is going to be, and they've done this before. They'll have a lot of expertise. But so two important things now. One is we're working on what that timeline will be, and two is, yes, we will have some community engagement as it pertains to what we want to see. But we got to get our arms around, one, how is this going to be executed financially? Who's cutting checks? Who's doing all of that? We got to get that figured out with Conservation Florida. And then once we're ready for that community engagement, that's what we'll take on.
And is it a given that the existing wood structure, boardwalk, stairs and all will all be removed and demolished, some be removed and demolished, some be rehabbed, or we really just don't know yet?
Of the answers you just asked, I guess I would say it's a given that some will be, for sure. It could be all of the stuff that's going up and down where the pavilions up top are saved. I mean, it's just too early to say. All we know about it right now is it's not fixable, and we didn't have a budget for it. You know, we've got to really fix it in a better way. So no decisions have been made on that yet. We're going to get some experts in there, you know, take a close look. And of course, if there's value to be extracted from saving a part of it that still provides value for the park long term, of course, we'll look at that. So so just too early to say at this point.
But I mean, your goal is as much access within the parameters of the conservation status so that people can enjoy it and that we can afford it. All of that is all yes, right?
That's correct. We want the best experience possible that also has a mind on maintenance that we didn't have 40 years ago.
Right.
And all of those other things as well. You know, it will be a new park in that sense. I believe there'll be new assets at this park that don't exist now. And there might be some assets that are gone now that won't exist in the future. So we're looking at all of those factors to make sure that the mayor 40 years from now isn't having the same issue I'm having.
I've been wanting to talk to you with you about this for about a month now. My wife and I went paddleboarding out by Tahar, and we went out by the boat launch graffiti bridge, went all the way out to the old 3 mile bridge, and you know, kind of the fishing pier and whatnot. And the one thing that it reminded me of is looking over at Wayside Park is still just a giant hot mess. I mean, it looks terrible. All the railings are broken. Yep. The concrete's broken, as you well know. And then on the other side, the Hobo Beach has got the big fencing up for the dredge spoil drop site, where it's not even that, you know, you shouldn't go there. It's that you really can't go there except for just the narrow strip of beachfront over on the south side towards the water. Status of Wayside Park and or long-term plans, if any, for Hobo Beach?
Yes. So I'll start with Wayside Park. Remember, that was a much debate, a debate that the city has not won in terms of how much value should be, how many dollars we should be getting from FEMA for replacement of that seawall. We've been going back and forth. This precedes this administration, years and years of post-Sally conversation. Did a barge hit it? Was it the was it the hurricane itself, all of that. So
a barge hit it. I saw it.
So, you know, again, they sent us to the barge. The barge sent us to the hurricane.
Yep.
And that's, you know, the best way, short way I can encapsulate. It's a confusing mess in terms of, you know, getting recouping funding for it. So it really means we're going to be having to look for other opportunities. So here's where we are at Wayside. Everything at to the from the boat launch north. So the train trestle walk under, the chimes for the graffiti bridge, the redoing and repaving of that, that parking lot that's in great disrepair, and the boat launch itself that's in disrepair, all of that is moving forward.
Okay.
So that will be underway this fall. And so if you just draw that line, anything north of basically the boat launch, including getting under the graffiti bridge.
The boardwalk around the walkway around, which has long been planned, and I'm excited to hear about that. Okay, so that's going forward.
All that's going. We're good on all everything north. Everything south, number one, of course, is the significant expense is the seawall itself,
right? You
know, millions of dollars. However, we're biding our time because, most importantly, any day now, any week, you can ask Wes, maybe next time you have him on for the exact date, but they're starting the fishing pier, which is owned by the county.
Right.
When you get to the bridge, the foot of the bridge, that becomes county property. So, you know, a $20+ million fishing bridge replacement, I'm not really in a big rush to go repave that parking lot for trucks to run it over for the next 2 years. So ultimately, the south side of Wayside really is going to be a laydown yard for a $20 million bridge project. So, you know, that doesn't mean we aren't going to have plans to fix it and what come back as. But if we had the money today, it would be short-sighted of us to go spend a bunch of it on infrastructure of which the public can't even access. So we really don't
have an answer yet on that south of the boat launch portion, other than it would make no sense to do anything right now until the fishing pier gets rebuilt, and then we can have a conversation.
Correct.
Okay,
lastly, the dredge foil site.
Yeah, hold on just a second, okay. Because I need to get a traffic report, and then we'll come back to that because I definitely want an answer on that. John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now, but if you're traveling on Fairfield and 9th Avenue, seeing some major backups there. So just be aware of that. Take an alternate route. Other than that, things are looking good. I'm John Pickens with traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Sorry, Mr. Mayor. Talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves, I had asked the question about Hobo Beach across from Graffiti Bridge and, you know, access to that site. It's currently fenced off as a dredge spoil deposit area. Historically, of course, you're not really supposed to go over there, but people do. And, of course, homeless folks have historically stayed there, which is why it's called Hobo Beach. Anyway, you were saying, what's the kind of plan for that area?
Well, no, exactly what it is now. It's a dredge spoil, like you said. That means there's no public access. Or understand, we've got dredging happening, very important dredging for stormwater, things like that at the bayou. So I think we have six of those outfalls that have already been funded, and you know all of that. So ultimately, we're moving ahead. And yes, you're right. Especially by foot, if you're over on that beach, that means you cross the trestle, which is illegal. So. You know, we're trying to do the best we can to keep that safe and secure.
I would say lightly enforced illegal.
Right.
But fair enough. It's a little bit more robust now with the giant fence up. I mean, that does make a big difference. You made the first step, I think. It's a little hard for me to track some of the steps here, but I think we made the first step on Thursday at the Pensacola City Council meeting that we now have houses that are going to get built as part of the community land trust. Is that right?
That's right. So three scattered site properties that we own, the city owns, that have been discussed to put housing on, I think, for many years. We partnered with the Home Builders Association, very appreciative of their support, and, of course, the Community Land Trust. So what does that mean? It means for the first time in the history of the city, there will be three houses controlled by the land trust with some oversight control from the city in terms of making sure they remain used that way or we would get them back. Ultimately, those three houses will be in the affordable inventory of our city for the next 99 years, at least, which many of the affordable housing projects that have happened have a runway of 5, 10, 20, maybe 30 years,
okay.
And then they can become market rate, and then we lose them to the market, right? So the idea of this is unprecedented within the city limits, is that now we'll have three houses that you can buy it. You can experience some of that appreciation, and you still get a portion of that appreciation as well. But it has to go to another qualified buyer at a set AMI rate. So So very, very excited about this. We're talking about this concept, Andrew, as you know, with the old Malcolm Young site and other sites, where this could be used. But this is a great pilot for us, these first three homes.
And worth noting is, the Community Land Trust is superintended by Habitat. The city is obviously superintending all of this. But then you have the Home Builders Association, which are donating materials and doing the building of these houses. So they're very involved in this, too, in a very generous way. So it's a kind of an all around everybody's playing kind of situation, right?
That's exactly right. And hopefully, I know that once the news got out that HBA was doing this, now there's HBAs I've heard, across the region, across the country, that are going to be paying close attention as this a potential pilot for a project that HBA is maybe doing all over. So it's good to be on the forefront of creative ideas of trying to help solve this crisis.
$7 million for the Baptist Project, which we have had many, many, many conversations about. The one good note is we finally get confirmation that we've got 3 years to really figure this out. The money's not going to evaporate within a year. Is that right?
That's correct. We just got that news. And as we had expected throughout this process, despite, all sorts of conversations of what we could or couldn't do in a certain amount of time frame, that was great news to hear that. And where we are right now is we're just merely waiting on access to the building. We'd hired our consultant, as I'd mentioned before. That's our demo and abatement consultant. So we need to walk the halls and see if there's any value in potential value even in repurposing anything, or is it automatic, no value. And so we want to make those assessments as quickly as possible so we can kind of figure out our direction forward. So great news on that front that we've got the funding, which means we can make this happen. And we're already starting to move on it.
And last thing, I mean, we got through almost everything. This is amazing. We never get through so many things. a new airport parking lot on the north side of the grassy knoll north of the airport where it's kind of you can't have too much stuff there, but you can put a parking lot on the north side behind the firehouse, right?
That's right. So exactly. Yeah. Right behind the firehouse in that empty field there near the north runway. We've added another 300 spaces. That will be shuttled constantly. And I think it's a 30-day flat or $30 for up to 30 days. So if you're going on a long trip, you just get there a little early and you can save a lot of money by leaving the car there if you'd like. But I think, as you know, Andrew, we're looking at every solution there is. We had our busiest day in at least 5 years on Saturday. So and we continue like a broken record to hear all of these records falling. So what we're looking for outside the box solutions. We're getting that parking lot. We're excited to get that parking lot up and going to 400 spaces on Tippin. That will, again, I like to remind everybody, would bring us to what our master plan called for in 2035 in terms of parking spaces. So that's the type of growth, which is great. But we are moving as quickly as we can in terms of security, in terms of parking and everything else.
Very good. We always like to end with the lightning round. First question. Tell me something dangerous, dumb, fun-wise that you did as a kid that maybe you wouldn't make or want your own kids to do, but still you're here and you survived and it's okay.
Ooh.
Dad and mom might be listening, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Other than like leaving the house and with no cell phone and coming back like 10 hours later, hopefully, I don't think we're going to do that anymore like I used to.
Yeah,
maybe
no.
Maybe paintball would be a close second.
Okay, all right. When you're buying things at the grocery store or the big box or wherever, if the price is wrong, do you complain about it or do you just let it go?
It probably it depends on the dollar amount and how long the line is behind me.
Gotcha.
I think it's a combo of that. I mean, it's got to be, if it's 10 cents or something like that, I don't want to inconvenience, stop the world for it. So, there's got to be a certain threshold.
If they undercharge you, have you ever notified them that you should pay more?
Has that ever happened to you? I don't know. I can't even think of a time I've been to the grocery store where they've undercharged
me. It happened to me a couple times, and they're always shocked. Oh, yeah. They're always like, what? Why would you be honest? I'm like, because aren't we citizens? last question, can or bottle?
Ooh, man. You know what? I'm going to say can, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's my old beer days.
Craft beers come in the six pack, not in the case
exactly.
Or whatever.
A little more efficient. Yeah, easier to recycle.
Can't break it on the beach.
You bring it on the beach. That's exactly right.
Very good, Mayor D.C. Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola, sir. As always, thank you so much for the time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, David.
7:55 here on News Radio Pensacola. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you're traveling on I-10, I-110, everything is looking very good right now. But seeing some delays happening on Highway 29 between Burgess and Airport, both north and southbound lanes are having some heavy congestion there. Other than that, I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
If you've got a plumbing issue, a drip, a leak, a weird sound in the wall when you flush the toilet, you know, the wall shouldn't talk back to the toilet, okay? Just good safety tip for you. The pressure on the water, the heat on the water, any of that's not right, call Barbary Plumbing. They will take care of you. 477-8782 for Barbary Plumbing.
Waiting for a great finance rate on a great Volkswagen? Well, the wait is over. Now at Feedmore Imports, eligible buyers can receive 0% APR for 60 months on the 2024 Volkswagen Taos. This sporty VW Taos S is waiting for you with 0% APR for 60 months or a discounted price of $24,491. And the 2024 Tiguan S discounted to $29,516 or take 2.9% APR for 60 months. The 24 Atlas Cross Sport SE with 2.9% APR for 60 months or a sale price of $36,206. And the Atlas SE with technology, now discounted $2,500 to $41,793 or take 2.9% for 60 months. Great Volkswagens, great rates, and a great family-owned dealership. Feedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate in lieu of discounts and for qualifying credit through VCI. Sale price before tax, title, and associated dealer fees. See dealer for details.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on IdentifyEPI.com and talk to your doctor. That's IdentifyEPI.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Jumping out of a perfectly good aircraft is not a natural act, so let's do it right and enjoy the view. Come on.
Is great, and the video of the black and white of the crowds all jumping around. Oh yeah, no, that's good stuff. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom. Oh, sorry, David, in the newsroom with our headline. David, there you go. How about that?
Hey, there we go. Victims of the Club Q shooting in Colorado Springs say they are relieved that the court process is now over. Survivor and former employee Ashton Gamblin says. She's not happy that Anderson Aldrich avoided the death penalty, though. She was shot multiple times. She read her victim impact statement in court yesterday. The judge accepted an outlined plea agreement, and he received 55 life sentences.
All right, very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. By the way, my shoot house experience actually running through and getting debriefed, the videos are posted now on our Facebook page if you want to watch
it. Listen on air at night.